We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Breaking Hard Knocks news, according to Adam Schefter, it is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams. If there is a training camp, then there will be a Hard Knocks. They're trying to get that stadium finished.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be finished for the season this year, but all the workers are like, can we not be doing this right now? There's a pandemic.
Right. I will say one thing about Schefter, because I don't really care about Hard Knocks. I mean, I'm just praying that we get a season. But having two teams, okay, whatever. NFL going all in right now to provide as much content as possible as soon as we get out of this, which is hopefully very soon. Schefter has been awesome, like kind of going after the NFL. Now, I have a different opinion than him. I'm fine with them going about business. I want the NFL draft to be
Schefter's
held.
Because Schefter, the one thing that he got a lot of attention for was saying there's carnage in the streets and we're still going on with these proceedings. Yeah. I don't know how much of that is really him or him speaking out for some of the GMs and agents that give him his tips.
Well, I love it, though, because a lot of guys fear the NFL. They fear Roger Goodell, and he does not. And, I mean, he could have lost his job. I don't know. I like his reporting. I've always been a big fan.
No, Schefter could pretty much say anything.
You think so?
It's Adam Schefter. He ain't losing his job.
I don't know.
At ESPN?
You speak out. The NFL is like the mafia, man. You speak out on them, Roger Goodell will have you whacked. I don't even know if I could say that on the air, but I was just kidding anyway.
You've said way worse.
Yeah, without the dump button. Go back a couple months ago. I'm kidding. Yeah, I don't know. I've become a bigger fan. I've always been a fan of him as a reporter. And I don't know. I like that he spoke up a little bit during this.
You know, I sit here in my living room and I do have my window open. And I've seen a lot of people out today. And, okay, so they're basically on their own. I mean, I did not realize this many people in my neighborhood had dogs. Everybody's walking a dog. Every 2 minutes, there's a new person walking a dog. Family out for a bike ride.
It's weird to see all these people outside, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be nice today, too. There's a polling station close to my house, too, so I think that people are... Traffic's been pretty light, but I've seen some of these videos. The one at Riverside High off of Locust in Milwaukee. A lot of people there. And I just... If you're going to go vote today, just do it safely. I mean, it's not great. This whole thing, and now we got to have all these people congregating. Just be safe if you're on your way. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that. You know by now, but do be safe. Rob Reichel is going to join us in a little bit. Forbes.com will talk NFL draft with him and a little bit of this all-decade team. The only Packer on it is Aaron Rodgers. I suppose you can count Jari Evans, who did make it for his long tenure on the offensive line with the Saints, but certainly not the reason he is on this team, his time with Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is. Tom Brady was unanimous at quarterback, and they put two quarterbacks on. So only two quarterbacks. So the decision is Tom Brady, yep, and then probably Rodgers. You could throw Russell Wilson in there, and you can throw Drew Brees in there. And Aaron Rodgers made it over those other guys. If you are a Saints fan, you can certainly be upset that Brees didn't make it over Rodgers. Rodgers has the Super Bowl championship this year, this decade, I should say, and so I will. But Drew Brees, statistically, he's got better stats. He's thrown for 5,000 yards 4-plus times. Rodgers never made that. He's thrown for 40-plus touchdowns a handful of times. And statistically, he's better because Rodgers missed two seasons with injuries, or at least big chunks of those seasons. I'm fine with Rodgers on this list as a Packer fan slash owner or not. I know this is going to be a topic of conversation on all the, you know, talking head shows. I know the Saints fans are going to blow their blow up WWL today down in New Orleans. I'm sure that this will be a topic that is heavily discussed the rest of the day on our station. I don't need to go there. It could be Breeze. It's Rodgers. All right. Now, if Breeze got in over Rodgers, sure, light up the phone lines. Let's talk about it. But I don't need to defend our guy if he's on the list. I mean, I'm not going to spend an hour talking about should he be in there over Breeze when he's on the list. Am I wrong about that? Should we make a bigger deal about this?
No, unless you want to go through Pro Football Focus's list where they actually go Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers. And I'll admit that did upset me a little bit. I think Aaron Rodgers...
But that's their list. This is the...
Right.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame did this.
Right, right, right. I believe Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thrower of the football ever. I think... I got in an argument, of course, on Twitter yesterday because I called him the GOAT. Somebody said he's not the GOAT. He is 1-3 in NFC championship games, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how many times has he had a top 10 defense? You look at Tom Brady, he's always had an actual team surrounding him. Aaron Rodgers has actually individually carried his football team to the NFC championship game. He's done it multiple times with some really bad football teams. My argument with Drew Brees, I go Rodgers over Brees. I mean, Brees had some tough years. There were some years where the Saints didn't make the playoffs, and Drew Brees was healthy during those seasons. The only time Green Bay...
Yeah, 3-7-9 seasons in a row.
Right, and the only... So you go back, what was it, 3 years ago when the Packers missed out on the playoffs. I mean, they were destined for the playoffs. In fact, Rodgers was going to have, in my opinion, statistically probably the best year of his career before the Anthony Barr hit and goes down, misses the rest of the year, tries to come back against Carolina. We remember the story. Year after that, gets injured week one against the Bears and puts together one of my favorite performances week one. But then the rest of the season was a disaster because he's thrown the ball to three rookie wide receivers. He's playing on one leg. The defense was atrocious. So those are the 2 years Rodgers misses out on the playoffs. The years that Brees misses out on the playoffs, he's completely healthy. Now there's the year, you know, I mean, they had the whole Bounty Gate thing and Sean Payton gets suspended. So then he has to come back after sitting out a year. But I would argue Drew Brees has been surrounded by better weapons. He's got a better coaching staff. I still like Mike McCarthy, but I think Sean Payton's the better coach. So I would have to go Rodgers over Brees. I mean, I just think that I just think he's the better quarterback. He's the better player. Regardless,
I get that you can argue for Brees. I get why Pro Football Focus argued for it. They said he's been better. I mean, Rodgers had a better peak, but Brees has been consistently better. I totally get how you can argue Brees. Rodgers did win the Super Bowl in this decade where Brees's was the one before that. I'm fine with Rodgers. I mean, if you left Rodgers off the list, I do think it would be more of a, oh, than if you left Brees off the list.
See, I'd go Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson too. And the problem with this list is they only do select two quarterbacks, which is hard to do. You look at some of these other positions, they select two kick returners, Devin Hester and Cordell Patterson. I feel like, all right, put Hester on, but then Cordell Patterson, you're like stretching for. And then they bring in two punt returners. So they put Tyreek Hill as a punt returner and Darren Sproles. And then Darren Sproles made the team again as a flex position.
Yeah, stupid. I didn't like
it. Why do you need a flex position? What is it? Just quickest running back that can catch? I mean, that's basically what it is. The running backs were Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, and then Adrian Peterson was unanimous. Also, two former Badgers unanimous on this list, Joe Thomas and J.J. Watt. Rodgers, the only Packer on the entirety of the list. No David Bakhtiari, no Clay Matthews, who Clay argued that maybe he should be on the list. He put a tweet yesterday. If you guys think these people don't care about this stuff, he put out a tweet yesterday. It said 81.5 sacks in the decade, 91.5 in the career, 11 sacks in 15 playoff games, Super Bowl champion, defensive player of the year, 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro player. The other linebackers were, on the outside at least, Chandler Jones, Khalil Mack, and Von Miller. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, it's tough to make that list. You got to be cream of the crop. So I get it. Rodgers, the only Packer. I get it. Rodgers making it over Brees. I get it. But you can certainly, if you're Clay, you feel like you have an argument. And if you're Drew Brees, you certainly feel like you have an argument.
Yeah, understandable. going back to the Russell Wilson thing, I just think that he's
no,
done...
let's go back to how Darren Sproles is on this list twice.
I don't want to see any kick returners or punt returners from the last decade, because anytime there's an impressive kick or punt return, it's called back for a hold, usually when I have money on that team. So I think you could have left those guys off. Russell Wilson, I think he's done more with less. And I started off calling Russell Wilson a system quarterback, especially in 2012, 2013, because that defense was so good. Who's the best wide receiver that Russell Wilson's ever thrown the ball to? Doug Baldwin, who I like. He did have Jimmy Graham for a couple of years, who was a red zone threat. But Russell Wilson's grown on me. Not so much as a person. I think he's corny. But as a quarterback, I would take him over Drew Brees. Brees has been surrounded by great play
callers. Russell Wilson, of the four we've mentioned,
yeah,
Russell's the best of them right now.
Right now, yeah. And I think that that's been going on for like 5 or 6 years. Since that defense started breaking down a little bit, what was that, 4 years, 3 years ago, when Legion of Boom started to finally break down a little bit, Earl Thomas had the injury, Richard Sherman had the injury, then went to San Francisco. So I'd probably go Russell Wilson over Brees, but Brees has had the better play calls and the better weapons he's been surrounded by. I think what we should do, because this is so tough to do, tomorrow or later on in the week or whenever we get really bored, we should put together an all-decades Green Bay Packers team, because I think that would be some good conversation and kind of tough at some positions. Like wide receiver, that would be really tough for the last 10 years. Outside linebacker would be pretty damn easy. I agree with that Clay should probably be on that list. I know that the injuries caught up to him, but I go back, man, and you watch the 2009, 2010, 2011 seasons. He was so quick. He was so good, you couldn't block him, and he was so violent. He was a great football player. Injuries just caught up and age caught up a little bit.
Ideas like that keep off the air so they can't be stolen, but we will do that. That's a good idea.
Awesome. Yeah, sorry. The on-air producing thing just came out because I got so excited.
No, I know. It comes to the top of your head, and you want to blurt it out, but you know that's going to be stolen in about 50 minutes here, so that's fine. We'll do it as well later in the week. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We're going to talk to Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, about some of this, and then also the NFL draft situation, the ideas that we've been kicking around this week. And also, we're going to talk some baseball with Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, because we may see baseball in May. I think that might be too soon, but we'll see what happens with the MLB. Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And as we ask everybody, Robbie, you doing good? You doing fine? How are things?
I hope you're also well, my friend. So,
because you got two daughters, right?
I do. And this virtual learning is is tricky. They're great students, and they plow through, and they do their work all day. But to have everybody home has certainly been tricky. And you mentioned the draft scenarios, and that's going to be wild, isn't it? When you see Matt LaFleur's kids run through the background, and when he's on TV, or Brian Gutekunst is supposed to make a pick, and here's one of his little kids running around. It's going to be fascinating for everybody, isn't it, Mark? How this new world we're operating in for the next few months is going to play itself out with this draft. There's going to be a lot of general managers out there that, you know, will try to probably use this a year or two from now as an excuse, and there's others that are going to take full advantage and think they can get a leg up on their opposition and find a way to maybe beat the guy next to them, because now the playing field's a little bit different than what we've seen here the last, you know, 15, 20 years or whatever. So it's going to be a wild night in, what, 16 days, Bart?
It is different. The playing field's certainly different, but at least it's the same for everybody. So you're right. Some GMs are going to say, well, geez, I couldn't scout properly. And some are going to say, hey, I mean, I'm not a bad scout, so I can figure this out no matter what scenario you give me. Where the Packers lie is at number 30 at this point. I still feel like they may move up in some way, shape, or form. We've talked with you before, Rob, about the receiving class. What I was doing this weekend was, I think what a lot of people were doing, was watching some old Packer games. You saw the game on NBC Sports Network. They replayed Packers-Saints first game of 2011. The Super Bowl was on Fox 45 on Sunday. And the thing that impressed me the most was the quick release from Rodgers and who he was throwing to. It was Jordy Nelson. It was Donald Driver. It was Greg Jennings. It was James Jones as your fourth guy. And then, oh, by the way, you've got JerMichael Finley. So now after watching this weekend, I've kind of adjusted. I'm thinking, all right, I want a receiver, and I want one of the top guys. So get a receiver with your first pick. But then go and get a receiver with your second pick. I want to see them double up right now on wide receivers. Is that feasible for them? Is that something you think they would do? Is that smart?
Yeah, and you mentioned that 2011 Saints game. And yeah, oh, by the way, Randall Cobb had 2 touchdowns in that game. And
yeah, Randall Cobb.
That year, right, Bart? So, yeah, no, it's amazing the wealth of talent they had, you know, 7, 8 years ago at the wide receiver position. Bart, I think it's absolutely feasible to answer your question. Gutekunst was asked that at the scouting combine, which is the last time we saw him for obvious reasons. And the comparison was used to Ron Wolf in 1999, going corner, corner, corner at the top of the draft to shut down Randy Moss. And Ron Wolf back at the time, he went 1 for 3 on those. The only one he hit on was Mike McKenzie. But, Gutekunst was asked that same question, would you take that approach with a certain position? And the position alluded to was wide receiver. And he said, I'll never say never. He goes, it's not how we really want to conduct business, but I'll never say never. And you're dead on, Bart. I mean, if they find a guy sitting there at 30, let's just say it's Justin Jefferson from LSU, the slot guy, and now all of a sudden another guy drops into their lap late in the second round, like Mims from Baylor or something like that, and they go wide out to start. But I'm fully of the opinion they're going to take 3 in this draft, and I think at least 2 will be on the roster, depending on where they go in the draft. All 3 could be on the roster, and then you come back next year probably with what, Adams, Lazard, and Funchess, and maybe 3 rookies. Again, if it's a 7, you can throw him on the practice squad. Maybe a guy like Kumro steals another year or something like that. But in essence, Bart, I wouldn't be surprised if it's those top 3 and 3 rookies next year. And if Gutekunst can go wide out to start this thing, I don't think that's a bad strategy, and I wouldn't rule it out whatsoever, Bart.
They haven't, the Packers, taken an offensive player with their first pick since that 2011 season when they took Derek Sherrod, number 32 overall, on the offensive line, who did not work out for them. He didn't start right away that season, and he really never did. He didn't work out for them. Then it's been defense, 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 defense. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you saw that complement of guys that you had fade away over the years. Sure, you got Devontae Adams at the back end of the decade, but for the most part, your complement has been destroyed. And they did draft the 3 wide receivers a couple of years ago to varying results of unsuccessfulness. If they do it this year, they got to go high on that. Even if they go, we just had a call earlier about Jonathan Taylor. Even if you take him, looking at where Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams' contracts are up, let's throw him into the mix. Let's throw a running back into the mix. I want to see skilled guys taken. I want to see weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to – it's not sexy. I don't want an offensive lineman. I don't want that. I want to see skilled guys, top couple of picks, receivers or otherwise, because Rodgers, you know, God bless him, he's been sitting around seeing all these talented players get drafted, but he's got guys getting drafted on the defensive end. I mean, the Packers have drafted Demarius Randall and HaHa Clinton Dix and Dayton Jones and Nick Perry in the first round, while some of these other guys have become stars for other teams. If you're Rodgers, man, I hope he's got a little bit of influence this year.
Well, I don't think he will, first of all, Bart, nor, in my opinion, nor should he. The thing I'll say, Bart, and I understand your logic there, and they clearly need to get better on the offensive side of the ball, because in a number of categories last year, they were in the middle of the pack, real key categories. But at the same point in time, I mean, that NFC Championship game was 37-20, and I think San Francisco could have put up 51 if it kept playing, and they could have run for probably 400 yards instead of 300. I mean, that was an embarrassing performance on the defensive side of the ball. And they still have leaps and bounds and miles to travel with that group, too. I mean, Bart, they do need a defensive end. They need another inside linebacker. If Murray from Oklahoma is sitting there at 30, if Queen from LSU is sitting there at 30, I think those are certainly options that they're pretty good in the back end. Bart, I mean, Kevin King's up in a year, but they'll worry about that, I think, down the road. I think their cornerback tandem and their combination of safeties and then the depth they have at those positions are plenty good, and they've invested heavily, certainly at corner, over the last number of years that should not be an area of need. It's going to be interesting, Bart. There's going to be some interesting and some potentially dynamic outside linebackers available too. Do you go there and supplement that group? I know you spent a fortune on the two Smiths, but I don't think at this point they know what they have in Gary. And if they could, you know, if they could add another body to that mix, then you might not ideally want to do it at 30. But you know, I guess where I'm going with all that, Bart, is the defense probably still needs as much help as the offense does, which is remarkable, as you listed all the ones that have gone to the defensive side of the ball since 2011. You know, they haven't taken a first round receiver, Bart, since Javon Walker, and I think that was 2003. And you know, you touched on the fact they went wide out a couple years back, but that was rounds 4, 5, 6. So yeah, you've got to go up and get one of those guys higher. You know, what I'm fascinated with as much as anything, Barth, is this team was 13-3, played in an NFC Championship game, and we're still sitting here talking about probably a good 6 positions where you could say, yep, they absolutely have a need at that spot, and the player that lines up at 30 would probably fill that need. It's pretty rare, Barth, for a team to have that impressive of a record and go as far as that group did a few months back and still have this amount of need. So Brian Gutekunst has his work cut out, no doubt, on draft night, Mark. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, dropping from 30 to 34 and picking up an extra second or a third is his approach to this. But, you know, we'll find that out in a couple weeks.
Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, joining us here on The Fan. You watched that Super Bowl over the weekend, Super Bowl 45, and I think a lot of people did check it out. I've got it on my DVR already, so I've seen this thing 500 times. Most of it is when I have like friends over at 2 a.m. and you know we order a pizza and turn on the game. That's just kind of what I've always. When you come to Bart's house, you know if it's a weekend and you're gonna have a few beverages, you're gonna watch Super Bowl 45. But yeah, when I watch that,
I pop that in, Bart, and I go to Wisconsin, Kentucky, 2015. So yeah,
oh, you do.
we all have our games that we like to show the visitors at 2 a.m.
we watch that game, and you watch the Super Bowl, my game, and everybody was on the podium, and I remember that very vividly. My celebration for that Super Bowl quickly turned into my celebration for how many more Super Bowls they're going to win. Because in 2010, you thought it was going to be just Super Bowl after Super Bowl, appearance after appearance, trophy after trophy. And I asked some people on Twitter this weekend, well, why hasn't it happened more? And you can look at these drafts. You can look at all the defensive players that they swung on and missed. You can look at all of the wide receivers that I mean, those guys would retire. And then Davante Adams is really the only guy that supplemented that. You never replaced JerMichael Finley. Nick Collins got hurt on that side. You never replaced him. You look back at these last 10 years, to you, what's the biggest thing? Why have they not even been back to a Super Bowl since that day?
Well, I honestly think the biggest thing is Aaron Rodgers has not played great in the playoffs, Mark. He really hasn't. If you look at that 2011 season when they were 15-1, and I'm with you. I remember writing at the time, how many Super Bowls is this team going to win, right? And you looked at contracts and how young the group was, the Rodgers, the Matthews, the Nelsons of the world, Finley, Rodgers, all those people. And you thought certainly they'd get 3 rings or something like that at a bare minimum. But you go back and you look at Rodgers in the playoffs, Bart, 2011, that Giants team, that team was 15-1. And Bart, I want to say 15 out of the 16 games that season, Rodgers had a passer rating of 100 or higher. And his passer rating that day against the Giants was 78. And I know they didn't play any defense that day either, but he wasn't very good that day. He was okay in 12-13 against the 49ers. He wasn't good against the Seahawks in 14. He wasn't good against Atlanta in 16. I know he put that team on his back in 16, but in the NFC Championship game, Mark, in the biggest game of the year, he wasn't good, and that team got in a 31-0 hole. They should have had Seattle dead and buried in 2014. Now, I put 3/4 of that on Mike McCarthy, Bart, but another 20% or so goes on Rodgers, who didn't finish some drives early. And instead of that game being 16-0, Bart, it could have easily been 24-0 or something like that. And then that game's probably over. And then in this last playoff against San Francisco, I know they were clearly outmatched at 15 of the 22 spots on the field, Bart, but Rodgers was not good in that NFC Championship game either. If they're going to go back to another Super Bowl, Bart, if they're going to win another Super Bowl, the bottom line is in the playoffs, Rodgers has to look like he did in that 2010 season. And I watched that game again too, Bart. He looks like a different guy in that Steelers game with some of the chances and the throws that he takes. Now, clearly, Dallas Cephers doesn't get enough credit for that Super Bowl championship. That was one of the things that jumped out to me in watching that game again over the weekend, like you, Bart, was that, he's playing with, a secondary at the end of that game held together by string and duct tape and Band-Aids, and he's playing with Pat Lee and Jared Bush, and they still found a way to win the game. So Don Capers, all these people that beat up on him all those years, should probably pop that tape in one more time and give Don Capers his credit for having a title from Super Bowl 45. But Rodgers that particular day, Bart, was unbelievable at clutch moments and things like that, and that has not always been the case over the last decade. And there's a lot of things you can point to, I think, Bart, and there's no doubt. I think we all agree in this state that the Packers in the last decade should have had a couple more Super Bowls. Brett Favre's Packers should have had a couple more Super Bowls. It never did happen for those groups. It hasn't happened yet, at least for this Rodgers group. But if it's going to happen again, Bart, they need the highest paid or one of the highest paid quarterbacks and players in football to play like he did in that 2010 playoff run.
Since then, you talk about this decade, Aaron Rodgers is on the Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade team over Drew Brees, and then no other Packer making it. Clay Matthews tweeting out all of his accomplishments yesterday in the last decade, kind of arguing that he should be on. Aaron Rodgers deserving, yes, or should it have been Drew Brees? And then would any other Packer have deserved to be on this list?
Yeah, Rodgers is certainly deserving, and I'll be honest, I probably would have put Russell Wilson on ahead of Drew Brees as well. Russell's got won a Super Bowl, played in the second one. I think he's been to 7 Pro Bowls. He came into the league in 2012, so he lost a couple of years, lining up, career-wise in terms of Brees and Rodgers inside this decade. But, I would have put Rodgers 2, and I would have put Wilson 3, and then probably Brees 4. I think Russell Wilson and everybody around here who watched that playoff game, a few months back, Mark, had to leave thinking, God, this is one of the most unique talents that the league has had over the last 20 or 25 years. He almost willed a playoff win in Lambeau Field by himself, playing with guys like me and you at running back. It was ridiculous. So Russell, was in the conversation. But Aaron certainly deserved it, I think. You look at the stats and the records that he holds and, the all-time passer rating and things to that effect. I would have put Clay on there myself. I think Clay is a greatly underappreciated player, part of this era. He doesn't quite get the love in a lot of situations where I think he should. Now, I looked at the list outside linebackers. It was pretty impressive. It was going to be hard to bump a guy. But Clay is certainly in that discussion. Clay Matthews in the earlier part of this decade was as good as anybody on the defensive side in football. And after that part, no. I don't know who else you would have put on that list. If Nick Collins plays another 6-7 years, he was trending in that direction, and he's probably, the next guy that you would have thought about from that great 2010 team that maybe jumps on there. But Jordy wasn't quite good enough, I think, to trump some of those wide receivers that made it, because that was a fantastic group as well. You always have to ask yourself, Bart, when you say, all right, we're going to put our guy on, but who are you going to take off? That becomes tricky. And when you do look through those lists, there's not any dead weight on there, that's for sure. So, Rodgers has had really good people around him. He hasn't had Hall of Fame type of people around him. Woodson will probably be the only one. I don't think Clay's going there with, less than 100 sacks, Mark, which is, I think, where he's at in his career now, 92 or something like that. So that does speak to the fact that, Rodgers has carried a team at various points in time as well. All-decade, the team there, I thought overall, Bart, it was pretty rock solid.
Rob Reichel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Forbes.com, Rob Reichel on Twitter. Thanks, Robbie. Be safe and hope to see you in real life at some point soon.
Yeah, me as well, Bart. All the best to you and yours, and you guys be safe over there. See you, buddy.
Rob Reichel joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The pandemic numbers are starting to flatten out in the New York area. Nationwide, Surgeon General Jerome Adams says testing is moving forward quickly.
We are going to be at 2 million tests this week, and it's rapidly ramping up with the commercial industry coming on board.
For example, Walgreens has just announced it's expanding drive-through testing in 7 states with results available in a matter of minutes. But a disturbing trend is just now coming to light, with some states showing more pandemic deaths among African Americans than any other group. In Louisiana, it's more than 70%. Adams says this is all about pre-existing conditions.
We know that blacks are more likely to have diabetes, heart disease, lung disease.
Local officials say it's also because many African Americans don't have access to better medical care. The pandemic has hit people of almost all ages hard, except for children. CBS's Dr. Taryn Arula.
They looked from February to April at over 100,000 cases in the United States, and they found that less than 2% of those were in a pediatric population. The median age affected was about 11, and in fact, similar to the data in China, there were less hospitalizations in children.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains in intensive care 11 days after he announced that he was infected. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer is in London.
Johnson works to stay fit. He's a keen cyclist and tennis player, but he's also 55 years old and male, which elevates his risk of complications from coronavirus. His pregnant partner, Carrie Symons, had coronavirus symptoms too, but she's recovering.
On Wisconsin, it's to the polls today for the presidential primary, despite concerns about social distancing when voting in person. More from reporter Bruce Marcus.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers issued an order to postpone the voting until June, but the state Supreme Court reversed the order. Rhinelander City Clerk Valerie Foley says steps will be taken to protect voters and volunteers.
Only so many people get in. We are going to have people at the door. We are going to have signs up. We are going to make sure people keep their social distance.
Because of the coronavirus, some polling places lack volunteers. The National Guard will help where there are shortages. Bruce Marcus for CBS News, Eagle River, Wisconsin.
You may remember the story of astronaut Anne McClain, who was accused of hacking into her estranged partner's bank account from the International Space Station. Prosecutors in Texas now say McClain is in the clear, and they've indicted the ex for lying to NASA and the Federal Trade Commission. Wall Street off to a good start. The Dow is up more than 800. This is CBS News.
For there not being sports, we certainly have covered a lot today, from football to basketball, and now some baseball, which may be trying to figure out a way to come back. All of this is so up in the air, and all of it is so, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. So that's what we've been saying as we bring in Scott Miller to talk some baseball with us, Bleacher Report, MLB Network, among others. Scott, you're the newest member of our I Don't Know tour, because we ask guests when they think things are going to return and what they think baseball should look like, and the main answer is just I don't know, and so that's where we are. How are you doing today? I think you can definitively answer that one, at least.
I am doing well, fortunately. You know, big thing these days, myself and my family's in good health, as I hope yours are, and you and yours, and everybody listening.
Yeah, we're trying to get through this. You know, there's people that are still going out more than they should be, or not taking it as seriously. The only thing I say is the sooner we beat it, the sooner sports come back. And when sports do come back, it is going to be in a way that we're probably not familiar with. The reports coming out in the overnight is that baseball's looking with health officials to maybe play in Arizona. You'd have to quarantine people off. Brewers pitcher Brett Anderson's already tweeted, this is a non-starter because you'd have to be away from your family for up to 4.5 months. If baseball's going to try to come back, is a scenario, and basketball's talked about this too, where they go to Vegas or something, is taking everybody, in your opinion, to one location, having them play it out, is that worth rushing things back, or should they? Do you think they should wait until things passed a little bit and we can kind of have it like normal? Should these leagues be rushing or waiting or finding a balance in the middle?
You know, I think a couple different things. I mean, I do think, you know, for the good of the country, you heard that phrase with baseball after World War II and the famous green light letter when Judge Kenesaw Mountain Landis wrote a letter to then-President FDR in January of 1942 saying basically, what should we do? How can we play our role in society? And FDR said in the green light letter back, people are working longer than ever. They're more stressed than ever. For the good of the country, you know, we need our games. That obviously was hugely different times. Right now, people aren't working longer than ever. They're not working. Now, that's not to mitigate the stress. Everybody's stressed out. Everybody's worried about their jobs. You know, tragically, so many people lost their jobs. I do think the leagues, it's incumbent upon them to look at ways they can come back. Now, this report overnight, this ESPN report, was I can tell you a couple of things. One, I mean, I don't want to sit here and rain cold water on people's hopes, but that's what I'm going to do momentarily. you know, I mean, I saw that headline right before I came over my phone. Hey, MLB might be back in May. And admit, for a split second, your heart skips a beat. But there was a similar report late last week. So I talked to a number of people over the weekend, and I can tell you definitively this from talking both ownership sources and player sources. MLB definitely is investigating multiple scenarios. This scenario that came out overnight about quarantining everybody in a place like Arizona, I mean, they definitely are looking at that. But this is the huge but. It is nowhere close to being employed. And as you mentioned, there's huge complications. I mean, if you're going to quarantine, like, basically the entire sport in one bubble, I mean, yeah, they're looking. That's how hard baseball's looking at different areas. Like, how can we do this? How can we do that? I mean, you know, bring all the players, the umpires, the coaches, the managers to one spot like Phoenix. Quarantine them in hotels, just bring them to the ballpark and back. I mean, that is one model, as I say, among about five or six different models that baseball's looking at. But as I said, talking to people over the weekend, I was told that one high-up MLB official who's involved in this, in these models, that on a scale of 1 to 10, he thinks this Phoenix plan is maybe a 2 in terms of a let's get it going. Like that's how complicated and far away it is yet. And, you know, Brett Anderson's tweet is right. I mean, that's just one of about a zillion questions is, okay, if we do this, are these guys going to have to be, they're going to have to be away from their families for 4.5 months, or we bring the families in, but then the families all have to be quarantined. And, you know, how many wives and kids do you think are going to go for that? And it just goes on and on, the difficulties of this.
And then one person leaves and comes back, and then mm-hmm. they're positive, and then the whole thing has to shut down. Scott Miller joining us here on the Bart Winkler Morning Show. Major League Baseball did issue a statement now, pretty much what you said. They've discussed right. these ideas. Nothing is settled. Baseball's in a spot, at least, like the NFL's probably in the best spot because they're months away from starting. NBA and NHL and, you know, even soccer, they started their leagues, NHL and NBA, very dire because they're almost ready for the playoffs. MLB, you know, there's been so much kicked around. So maybe they push it back all the way to, gosh, even August. Wouldn't this be the year? Would you be all right if they just did it differently? If they just said, all right, well, we're going to do, you kind of hear this World Cup style where it's like a round robin and then yep. you go from there. Would it be good for them to take this year? It's a different year. You're still going to have a World Series champion, but everything you've ever wanted to try it this year.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I've been covering the game long enough, and I appreciate the history enough that generally I would be classified probably as one of those grumpy old purists, personally speaking, that even though I've come around, like the bat flip, for example, I'm fine with it. As long as you're not showing up the other team, if you're celebrating with your own team, who cares if you flip your bat? So I'm not that grumpy of a purist, but, you know, I accept some of the new things. But from the purist standpoint where I am, what you just said, I totally support. I think, look, if you want to try seven-inning doubleheaders to get extra games played, you know, whatever it is, whatever gimmicky type thing that has been discussed over the past few years, extra teams in the playoffs, you know, I wouldn't want to see that going forward forever. But I do think this year, if we can get this game back on the field, it's going to be – this year's going to have a huge asterisk next to it anyway. It's going to be unlike any other year we've ever seen. Simply because even in strike years, you know, generally speaking, the shortest season I think has been about 110 games. I mean, if you're talking a 60 or 80 game season, you're not going to be able to compare, which we baseball people love to do, fans and everybody. You know, that's one of the beauties of the game, right? You can look at Mike Trout's season from last year, compare, you know, the numbers similarly, you know, to what Mickey Mantle did in 1954 or whatever the year was. There's obviously not going to be any of that this year. This year, even if you play it straight, it's going to look so different from any other year. So I think, why not? I mean, you know what? The big thing's getting the game back on the field. And if this, I don't disagree that this is the year, if we can do that, even if it's 60 or 80 games, to use it as a kind of a proving ground, a testing ground, and try different things and open up all ideas, and let's have some fun.
We were talking about the scenarios as we talked to Scott Miller here about the baseball and could it come back and when will it come back. So you're going to put an asterisk next to it if, like, let's say it's a 60-game season and then the Brewers win their first World Series title ever. Can I be happy about that, or does it not really count?
You know what? It counts. It's kind of like the argument, like before this horrific pandemic took hold, we were all talking about the Astros, right? And there's all kinds of back and forth about baseball should strip their title. And I never was in favor of that. Just like, you know, NCAA basketball, just take that. I mean, you know, Louisville beat Michigan in 2013 in the title game. I watched it. I don't want all these years later, the NCAA goes back and says, well, we're stripping the title from Louisville. Well, we all watched them. We know they won. You know, what are you going to all these years later say, well, Michigan's the new champ? So to me, it would be your question the opposite of that. You know, fine. You play the game, even if it's 60 or 80 years, we all know it's a different year. But if the Brewers win the World Series, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have as much meaning as if you played 162 games and you ground out everything, and you know, and it'd take a couple years ago, you know, when the Brewers lost to the Dodgers in Game 7 in Milwaukee of the NLCS, which I was there, by the way, and those games in Milwaukee were fabulous, and the atmosphere. Had the Brewers won that and then won the World Series, granted, it's going to mean more if it's 162 games. But, you know, I think the joy of just getting some of a piece of our lives back, even if baseball would be a 60-game season and a round-robin tournament and then the Brewers or whoever it is win the World Series, I think there'd be celebration. And I think you can be thrilled, you can be happy, and people – would deserve to be happy.
Scott Miller joining us, Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, MLB Network. You can also check out the book. I know a lot of people are taking up reading like never before, 90% Mental, the book. So there's a list of things, Scott, that I'm upset about, and I think we all are. We're upset we can't, you know, go out in public. We're upset we can't see our family, the extended family. We're upset there's people losing their jobs and income. The first dumb thing on that list that I'm upset about. So do all the real things, but the first dumb thing that I'm upset about is I was really looking forward to seeing the Astros play on the road for 81 games this season and seeing them get booed. And they weren't going to come to Milwaukee. They're not going to come to the NL Central. They weren't supposed to. We were going to go down in August because they're in Chicago, so we're going to watch the White Sox and then boo the Astros. But now when baseball comes back, I think people are just going to be so happy that the Astros won't get the kind of vitriol from people that maybe they deserved. That's where I'm the most – that's the first dumb thing I'm mad about is this. This whole Astros being the villain, that kind of got taken away from us.
Yeah, it did. I think whenever the game comes back, I think they're still going to be somewhat of a villain. There'll be people who hold grudges and go and boo and scream at them. But you're right. I think the vitriol that would have been will have passed. I just think after this coronavirus will have taken such a bite out of our country. And, you know, I've already talked to friends that are already saying, I hope one thing, if there's a silver lining in this, I hope one thing is when we all come out of it, everybody's nicer to each other. And these friends are like, because, you know, I'm out on a walk and we're social distancing and people I'm passing, you know, I don't know yet. Everybody's kind. Everybody's saying hello and how are you? And, you know, I mean, that's what we do, I think, is a human race. You know, in times like this, we all naturally pull together and, you try to help out your brother and sister, neighbor, whoever it is. And, you know, so how we come out of this, I think to a degree, probably these friends that have said this to me in the last couple of years that I hope were kinder and nicer, maybe for a while that's what will happen. I think that'll cross over into the sports realm and probably the Astros realm that you're talking about. So, they'll still get the raspberries from some people, but I don't think they're going to need the earplugs on the field that they might have needed had we played a normal schedule and they took their first road trip in April.
Whatever baseball is going to look like, Scott, it will be shorter. Assuming that there's a 2020 season, it will be shorter. Who would that benefit the most? I would think a team like the Brewers that has a deep pitching staff. They don't have a lot of great starters, but they've got a deeper pitching staff. I would think teams like that could benefit the most from a shorter schedule.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think teams with deep pitching, I think a team like, say, the Yankees, who when we left spring training, Aaron Judge had a cracked rib. Giancarlo Stanton had a strained calf. They weren't going to be ready for opening day. James Paxton, the pitcher, had back surgery. He wasn't going to be ready for opening day. Teams that were banged up like the Yankees, it'll help because it allows them, obviously, time to heal. So I think those kind of teams and teams with a deep pitching staff. The interesting thing is I think out west, I brought up the Dodgers a little while ago, and they won, eight consecutive division titles. I think they should easily win again this year. I mean, they're so deep with their pitching, with Mookie Betts, with on and on and on. But I think that a deep team like that could get surprised. Because while you said the Brewers and the deep pitching, that's going to help. But you're right, looking around the position player-wise, they've got some shortcomings. Whereas a team like the Dodgers, it goes on and on and on. Position player-wise, they don't have shortcomings. But I think if a team like the Dodgers that are so deep, sometimes it takes them a while to play well together and to gel. And if you're having a short 60-game sprint, you know, a season was designed for 162 games for the best team to win. And that
look at the Nationals last year with that slow start. The Nationals last year proved that.
Exactly. So, you know, I think there could, you know, you could see some teams that are deep like the Dodgers if they don't get out of the gate strong. You could see a team with good pitching but weaknesses elsewhere maybe get hot over 60 games, like you're saying, the Nationals, and you know, sting a team like the Dodgers. I think there's definitely something to that with a shorter schedule.
Scott, appreciate your time. Hopefully you're staying busy some way, somehow. We'll continue to kind of follow this and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Good luck to all you guys and the listeners. Stay healthy, stay safe, and, hopefully at least spring here soon in Milwaukee.
You too. Scott Miller joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Scott Miller, BBL, on Twitter. Great Midwest Bank is your passion outgrown your home. A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Bill Michaels coming up next, 10 to 2. Ryan Horvath here and Evan Heffelfinger in the house. How you boys doing right now?
I'm doing good because I love Scott Miller. Great interview right there.
That was a really good interview. I really like that.
Oh, Eazy-E, what are you up to?
Oh, you know, just surviving, trying not to get my hopes up with every single sport saying that they're coming back really soon, even though I know that's not the case.
I don't like how he sounds there, Horvath. Are you okay, Evan?
I just woke up. I'm having my coffee. I woke up like 3 minutes ago, so...
He's probably upset because Jeff Passan lied to us and told us that we had a shot at getting baseball, and anybody with a brain or, you know, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to take that shot at Jeff Passan. I actually love him. But this Arizona thing doesn't sound like it's going to be realistic.
I mean, we got to see.
Mike Trout's about to have a kid. I mean, you can't just leave his wife for 4 months.
Let's stop getting people excited, and let's stop getting people depressed. Let's not – everybody's so quick to have sports come back or to have an answer – that there was that Bleacher Report tweet over the weekend where everybody thought that this NBA season was done. And that's absolutely not the case. And then this morning, we're like, baseball in May? And then by the end of the morning, oh, no, probably not baseball in May. So let's just relax and in the meantime, find other things to do and root for and keep ourselves employed, happy, healthy, and surviving. We've all got to survive this time. One thing that I think, Evan, you got into esports, bud. What's going on there?
Yeah, so I've always been kind of a video game fan, and now is a better. I mean, there's never been a better time to get into esports. And my esports franchise had a bad day yesterday.
My esports franchise?
Yeah, my boys in G2.
Are they League of Legends?
They do have a League of Legends team, but my sport is Rainbow Six Siege, my favorite video game.
Oh, okay.
They got crushed by their rivals Na'Vi yesterday, 7-2, continuing their trend of losing on Monday playdays, going back to even year 4. It also continues the trend of them losing whenever Intero isn't casting the game. So
what
it's kind
of you saying?
You know, it sucks.
How did you pick a team in esports to like?
Well, I was bored probably a few months ago, and I was watching some of the pro league events and. Mm-hmm. This team stood out because they were funny. They were, you know, talking game in the game chat, and they were. I kind of fell in love with them. It was like love at first sight.
Do you either guys know what Rocket League is?
Oh yeah.
What is that? Because I can play it on DraftKings.
So it's essentially soccer with cars.
Okay.
I'm not good at it. I have a couple of friends who are pretty good, but it's still a kind of fun game to play, especially if you've had a couple of drinks. Basically, you're a car, and there's a like an oversized beach ball that's driving around, and you have to hit it into goals.
Speaking of real soccer, would either of you, Evan Horvath, if MLS is the first sport to come back, and it's back for like a month before anybody?
I'd buy season tickets.
No.
You're so desperate. MLS debuted, I believe it was yesterday back in 1996. And so last night they showed four classic MLS games, including the first ever MLS Cup, which was played in a rainy Foxborough Stadium. They used to count down in the MLS. They used to do a lot of dumb things. I loved the MLS in 96 because baseball went on strike in 94. I quit baseball. I said, I'm never coming back. Didn't come back till 98 with the Derby. But I wanted MLS to succeed so hard. I watched every game that was on TV as a 12-year-old because I thought that's how ratings worked, where if you're watching it, it counts for the ratings because the TV automatically knows. No, ratings, you have to have a thing and then write down a thing and then it clicks on your thing. And it's a whole flawed system. But I thought, and I would leave games on and then leave the room, even if I couldn't watch the game, just because I thought if my TV was on it, because I wanted MLS to take down Major League Baseball so bad I hated baseball that much.
Wow. That's keep that one to yourself, actually.
You were
rooting for Major League Soccer to defeat Major League Baseball?
I hated baseball. I'm a 10-year-old kid. It's my favorite sport.
Okay.
I've got so many cards.
Yeah.
I've collected so many jerseys.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Brewer fan.
Mm-hmm.
I even liked the Cubs back then, as I told you. Mm-hmm. And I liked the Red Sox because I was the Red Sox one year in Little League.
I sucked,
but I was the Red Sox.
Yeah, I had this thing for hockey for a while, and really,
imagine it goes on strike and it takes it away from you as a kid.
It was only because I saw Mighty Ducks in D2, and I wanted to be like the Bash Brothers, and so I really wanted to be a hockey player. But then I took to the ice and realized you got to skate backwards, and that was just a little bit too tough for me.
Mm.
You know? Oh, this is the 1 minute warning, by the way. My Facebook died.
Oh, what happened?
I didn't charge my phone last night, and on the computer, I got Joe set up for the show. What are you going to do today, Bart?
What am I going to do today? I don't know. I'm going to do probably the same thing I've been doing the last 3 weeks. Watch my kid for 3 hours, should be 7 hours. Take a nap when he does.
Okay.
End up taking a longer nap than him.
Yeah.
Making my wife then watch him while she's working.
30 seconds.
Evan, anything you want to finish the show with?
It's good to hear your voice. We miss you.
Do you?
Not really.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more people at the station during this pandemic than there was before.
Yeah, we don't need any more germs. Like I said, it's bad enough I'm doing all the cleaning around here.
All right, I'll stay away. Evan?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.